Thank God it's Free Range. You are listening to Free Range Radio Friday with your host, Michael Elves. Pour yourself a beverage and turn up the volume, because here on 101.5 UMFM, the weekend starts now.
All in good time, I gave it my best. I was alone till I found myself. Grew up to be a man, more or less. All in good time.
All in good time, I drifted away. I ran my mouth till I had nothing to say. You broke my heart, then I was okay. All in good time.
All in good time, I trusted my eyes. Treated my losses like clouds in the sky. Finally picked on some of my size. All in good time.
All in good time, I followed my nose. Learned where to bleed when a knife comes to blows. Tried on your love, then I folded those clothes. All in good time.
Throw your bread to falling birds.
Buried friends and wasted words. Something wants to eat us all alive.
All in good time, my angel came back. Paid us some money, but that didn't last.
We wouldn't cry, but we couldn't laugh.
All in good time. All in good time, we felt like a star.
We closed our eyes and we opened our arms.
Ran off the road in our own stolen car. All in good time.
All in good time, and that's what it was. Mistook that cash and the mattress for love.
Dropped all our weapons. Drank from the blood. All in good time.
All in good time, we had nothing to prove.
We took the bait till we'd lost the tooth.
No one believed it, but we told the truth. All in good time.
I told my future by reading your lips.
You wore my ring until it didn't fit. All in good time.
All in good time, we suffered enough. We met our muscle when push came to shove.
Swept all that broken glass under the rug.
All in good time. Dancing till we both collapse. Wishing we could hide our tracks. Something wants to eat us all alive. All in good time, we'll remember when. Say our goodbyes and our hellos again.
Puff and we'll puff until they let us in. All in good time.
All in good time.
Feet.
Your mother was sighing, my soldier was asleep.
We'll swim in the ocean, fishes set free. All in good time.
We'll swim in the ocean. All in good time.
101.5 UMFM. This is Thank God It's Free Range, the Friday edition of Free Range Radio. I'm Michael Alves, and kicking things off for us tonight, brand new single from Iron and Wine from a forthcoming LP. That was All in Good Time, featuring Fiona Apple in a rare guest vocal spot on a track. Great stuff. Really excited to hear more from her. We have got a busy show tonight. Lots of music coming up in the city in the next little while. Jeremy Albino coming to town to play the Park Theater tomorrow night. We'll talk to him in just a few minutes. And then a little later on, Royal Wood coming to town with Jeffrey Straker as part of the Piano Men Tour. Keep it locked here for a chance to win tickets for that show. I've got an interview with him as well. But before we get to that, a brand new Kaylee Cardinal single called Just Let Me Lie to You. She's got a new album due out this summer. This is Kaylee Cardinal here on 101.5 UMFM.
I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to make you sad. Don't you wanna let me save you from all that, all that, and just let me lie to you. Just let me lie to you, just like you want me to. Just let me. I'm lying in your arms, holding secrets I can't share. Would you believe me if I said I'm quiet 'cause I care? Oh, I care. And just let me hide you.
Time we had him on, Hard Time had come out. He was playing the Winnipeg Folk Festival, but back to play the Park Theater March 9th. Jeremy Albino joins me on the line. How's it going?
I'm great, man. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Playing a show with Benjamin Dakota Rogers here in town. A little different vibe than a folk fest. And you got a new album, or at least a more recent record, Tears You Hide, from last year. I didn't get a chance to talk to you when that album came out, but curious about kind of the, you dropped an EP in between Hard Time and Tears You Hide. Curious about kind of like how you approached this most recent full length, and whether you kind of like learned any lessons from that Hard Time, or like what went on kind of psychologically, let's say, and creatively.
Yeah. I mean, I think, I've definitely grown. I mean, every album I make or every recording I make, I feel like I'm always learning a lot from it. And the next one I get to, I kind of pull those lessons from, or that experience from it. But yeah, I mean, I guess we made a couple EPs that were kind of through an EP and a collaborative record
Oh,
through the
right. Blue, blue, blue.
pandemic,
Right.
and
Yeah.
yeah, Blue Blue Blue. And then it was kind of finally time to put a record of my own out. And yeah, I guess a lot of these songs were written through the pandemic, which I guess a lot of people were doing back then. But it was kind of just good to finally just get in the studio and do some of my own stuff, you know, after the Blue Blue Blue. And I guess I did a little EP, but it's just a, I guess I don't know. It was kind of just grown. I guess I've just grown. I don't know. I don't really know what kind of mindset I kind of went through to put it in, but put it to make the record. But I think it's just like things you just pull from experience, and you kind of just go in the studio a bit more confident, and not like it's your first time doing it, you know, and you just kind of give her.
Did you have a full sense of the album going into the studio? Like, did you know kind of what it would be front to back, or was there like some songs that you kind of ended up leaving on the recording room floor?
No, we pretty much had a good chunk of songs written and ready for the studio, and kind of like, I guess, yeah, we didn't, I don't really know what the album would be called or what it would kind of look like. Usually it's always kind of like that. I kind of have a bunch of songs, and you're like, hopefully it kind of they all fit well together, you know. I kind of get nervous a bit before I start recording, and then usually it kind of works out, you know. I ended up choosing Tears You Hide because it was probably my favorite song on the album,
Hmm.
and one that meant the most to me. And yeah, it's
When you
been really fun touring it so far.
say you have a bunch of songs and you know you hope like are you when you write an individual song thinking about it and how it fits with other songs, or is it just like completely blank slate and this is just its own thing and it has like no kind of connection or relation to other songs in that moment?
I guess usually you kind of have a bit in mind of like, once you have a handful of songs, you're like, well, I want to kind of keep that same energy, or to try to make sure it kind of fits in with the album or whatever, like with the project. But I try not to like be too held to that, you know, because sometimes when you're writing, you just got to write a song. And if it works out and fits to with what you're trying to do, you keep it. And if it doesn't, you just use it for something else later, or save it for later. But I try to not, like, you kind of go in with a bit of that mentality, but I don't really hold on to it too much, because I feel like that's a bit too much of a constraint when you're kind of writing. You kind of want to, I don't know, try to get the best out of it, and or just let your creative juices flow and see where it really takes you, because sometimes that's what you need to finish a song, you know.
You mentioned if it doesn't work out, save for later. Like, how often do you revisit old songs that like maybe didn't work out earlier?
I guess, I mean, a lot of the songs that were kind of on this album were songs that, or maybe three or four, maybe were some that kind of were ideas that I never really like held on to. And then eventually I was like, oh, I should kind of look back and finish these off. And so, yeah, I revisit every once in a while, you know. Like, I think sometimes the songs are just like, I actually don't really like the song, and I just usually like leave it. And sometimes my manager's like, you should try this song again. I was like, I don't know about that one. That one's not, it's, I've grown and changed from that world, or just from that song. And so I usually, that when it's like that, I don't try to look back. But I've written a bunch of songs lately. Like, I'm working on a record right now that a bunch of the songs haven't really made it onto the album, even though we recorded them, and I think we will probably put them out eventually one day, you know.
You mentioned these ones being written, the Tears You Hide ones being written in the pandemic. Did your songwriting process change at all with the pandemic? Like, did you find how you approached writing a song different from pre-pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, I struggled a lot with writing during that time. I've always struggled with writing. And I think just like right as I was making this album was the kind of first time I really kind of learned to work through it and just try to persevere to try to finish songs more than I used to. And but yeah, it was pretty tough, you know, like we were like in an echo chamber, kind of like when we weren't able to see anyone, and just writing was kind of tough. Early on I would just be in the studio just trying to write and write and write, and it was just, you wouldn't get any inspiration out in the world. You would just hear your own songs over and over again, and you kind of need a lot of the outside world, or at least I feel like I need the outside world to help write songs. And so it took a lot, and it took a lot of digging to try to get these songs done, but I'm really proud of how they all turned out, and
they
turned out all right.
That idea of writing in an echo chamber, like, had you in the past like road tested songs when you were like prior to recording them? Like, had you taken songs out and kind of seen what audience response was like?
Not really. I mean, I guess yeah. My first album, I was touring a bit before my first album, so they had been songs I'd been playing for years, but. So that's a bit different, I guess, like, because I've already been playing them. But honestly, yeah, before we put this album out, I started a bit and playing them live. So I had been testing them out, but we had already decided the record was going to happen. So it was a bit funny. You know, sometimes you play new songs, and a lot of times I want to play new songs, but most people won't really know them. People want to hear the songs that they know already. So it was a bit of a funny feeling to play all these songs knowing that they'll be on an album. And then eventually they do come out and then people actually know them. But I don't usually, I guess I do test them out. I probably will be testing out upcoming songs, but they're usually decided that they'll be on the record already. So
right. Does it create any conflict internally? Like when you want to maybe play some songs that no one's heard yet and the audience comes in with the expectation, like you're going to play the record?
Yeah, I mean, it's more like, even on this tour, there's some songs that I love that I aren't recorded yet, and it's just more of selfishness, I guess. It's just fun to play some of these new songs that I'm really excited about, but sometimes I just end up avoiding them because, you know, people don't really know them yet, and it kind of sometimes they push through, but, you know. Like I find that sometimes it throws people off to be hearing songs that they're not familiar with, you know? And I'm trying to always kind of keep the flow of the set going and keep the energy going so it's like, sometimes I do sometimes throw them in if I feel the audience is really dialed in, but sometimes if it's a bit of a, I don't know, sometimes it's a battle when you're on stage and you're trying to connect, you know, and so when it's like a bit tougher, sometimes I don't play the newer songs, but when we're all like in it together, I do.
So speaking of trying to connect,
I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, I do get a sense like you're trying to keep an energy level that, like, if you present too much of a departure, maybe that's going to sap some of that energy.
Totally.
But you also obviously want to keep your own interests and not just do the same show all the time. So speaking of that, then, like, now that you've been playing Tears You Hide material for a while, like, are there things that have surprised you about, like, are there songs that resonate with audiences that you maybe didn't expect, or like things that you thought would be the kind of crowd pleasers that aren't? Like, is there any kind of like disconnect or difference from what you anticipated versus like what you're kind of getting back from the audience?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. You know, I think It just really depends on the crowd, really. Like sometimes we've been on tour for like a month now, and we're like, there's like we're touring through the Midwest, and then we have like this set that we play, and sometimes you'd be like, oh, no one's really vibing this song right now. And then you get to another part of the country and they all love this song. And I think it's just the energy of the where you're at, and hopefully you just try to connect with it and try to find the magic that of the place and the songs that they love. 'Cause yeah, sometimes we're like halfway through the tour, we're like, oh, maybe we should cut this song because people aren't reacting it the same way. And then you end up playing it in this one town and they're like reacting it exactly how you want it to be. And then so then once you get when that happens, you're like, what are we doing something wrong here? Or we got to keep like dialing in this set and trying to figure out how to make that happen, you know? So it's I don't know. It's just kind of night to night. You kind of try to keep working on the set and the flow and the energy of it all. That's kind of what we try to do.
In the midst of a tour like this, what do you do with what downtime you get? Like, what do you do for yourself?
Yeah, we've been have we don't have that much downtime. Honestly, a lot of times I just try to I've been actually pretty active this tour. This is the first time I really ever hit the gym for on tour. So if we could get a if we don't leave before checkout, I usually try to get to the gym and do that just to keep my health and my mental health going. But yeah, usually honestly we just bum around the town and check out bookshops and coffee shops. That's really a lot of what we do when we're on tour, and vintage shops. And I was hoping to catch a movie on this tour, but it never really worked out. It's pretty busy when you're on tour like this.
It's hard to
So
carve out
yeah.
3 hours for Dune 2, probably.
Yeah, honestly, I almost did it when we were out in Kelowna, but the early movie, I missed the chance. I started at 3 and we got to get back to sound check it for 5, so I wouldn't have made
No
it.
doubt. You mentioned going to bookshops. You're a reader?
Yeah, I mean, I dabble. I actually honestly listen to a lot of audiobooks when you're on the road, just when you're driving and all that. But I've been trying to read before bed so that I'm not on my phone all the time.
Sure enough. Do
Yeah.
you prefer audiobooks to music when you're driving?
No, it's just a mix, you know. Sometimes music gets the energy going, but then sometimes audio keeps you captivated enough to get through those long drives, you know. So it's a bit of both.
Sure. Well, speaking of music getting you going, before we let you go, I want to get you to pick a track off Tears You Hide for listeners to hear. And if you have a reason why you're picking it or an anecdote about it, I'd love to hear that.
Yeah. I guess Tears You Hide is probably my favorite song on the album.
That's why you
But
chose it as the title, I guess.
yeah, it's a song, it's probably the song that means the most to me, you know. I found that when I was for making my first record, I wrote a lot of songs that are just like stories, you know. Nothing that was too personal or too close to home. But yeah, Tears You Hide was a song I wrote for my family, you know. A couple of years back, my sister was pretty sick with some health issues, and it was really the first time I'd ever really seen my folks kind of struggle with things. You know, they'd always really been superheroes in my life, and kind of never been too. I never really seen them fazed by a lot of things, but this seeing my sister sick was really tough, and it was the first time I've ever really seen them try to hide away their tears. And the first time kind of me and my family really had to step up and try to take care of them. And yeah, that's why the scene song means a lot to me, and the song was dedicated to them. And yeah, there's Tears You Hide for
Well, we'll give that one a listen. We'll remind folks you're
you.
playing the Park Theater March 9th with Benjamin Dakota Rogers. Jeremy, thanks very much for taking some time out of your day and safe travels.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Looking forward to chat again soon.
What you lose, my darling love? What you trying to find? It's hard to see in the darkness of your worried mind.
troubles now. I see the tears you're trying to hide. It's hard to hold it together, dear. I know that you've been trying. Sing your song. Make it out alive. As it was before, trouble is in what it was, and your tears no longer hide. So come along, yeah, come with me. I'll leave the past behind.
Back here on Thank God It's Free Range, the Friday edition of Free Range Radio. You just heard Dog Day, a new single from Vancouver artist Hannah Harlacker, recently featured on Exclaim's A-List, that's E-H, featuring new and self-released artists across the country. And that's in collaboration with the NCRA, the National Campus and Community Radio Station Association, of which UMFM is a member station. Coming up in just a few minutes, my interview with Royal Wood. Stick around. I'll be giving away a pair of tickets to his show March 21st at the West End Cultural Center. Before we get to that, though, Mick Flannery, new single, Someone to Tell It To. His song, Come Find Me, was one of my top five songs of 2019. Really excited to have some new stuff from Mick. Keep it locked here on 101.5 UMFM.
I like it when we're moving, then I can be slowed down. I can get to thinking, and I know you'll be around. You're there to watch me watching all the world go by. You're there to hear the question, why, how, why?
Right. Well, he's one of the piano men. Royal Wood, alongside Jeffrey Straker, coming to the West End Cultural Center March 21st, joins me on the show. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
So how did this collab come about?
I'm not sure whose agent pitched to, but it definitely was one. The promoters had actually been asking in some of the smaller rural Saskatchewan communities for us to do a double bill. And then it just kind of evolved from, I'm like, well, if we're going all the way to Saskatchewan for a bunch of shows, then why don't we just go, you know, all the West? And then I hadn't been Winnipeg in a bit. I was just last there with Bonnie Raitt, but headlining has been at least a couple of years. So it just feels really good to finally get back.
So on a dual bill like this, do you guys like flip heads or tails to decide like who opens, who closes? Like, how do you determine, you know, like it's co-lead, right? It's not like that there's like one headliner, but like who gets to be the closer?
Well, I certainly offered for us to just alternate night after night. I also don't care. It's a double bill, and everyone's coming to see us both. And if there's a fan of his that doesn't know my music, maybe I'll convert him, and vice versa. It's kind of how it works. You know, I remember seeing Ray LaMontagne and David Gray on this double bill tour, and I was how do you pick that one? Who goes first and who closes? So there's bigger acts and bigger problems, but it's pretty easy for us.
So, like, how much communication have you done in terms of like planning on this tour? Like, do you talk about like your own sets, or do you kind of treat those as like your own fiefdoms?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, we basically just treat it like this is our thing, and we're professionals, and we'll do our show. We definitely said on night one we're gonna make sure we get to the first theater early, just to kind of work on doing a song together on each other's set, just so we can kind of a little bit of community feel to it. Mm-hmm. And I'm a fan of Jeffrey. I've known him for a long time. Obviously, run into many festivals and known him for years. And he had me write for his last couple records, so. I've certainly worked with him before, and he's just a great human being.
Okay, so I guess I hadn't noticed that on the songwriting credits, but so you have a collaborative creative history.
I've definitely written and produced songs for Jeffrey for some of his past releases. He kind of started in LA. I would do a lot of writing production out of LA with a lot of different Canadian artists, and he just happened to be one that it all kind of worked out with my publisher, and we hit it off and wrote a really great song for him, and then ended up doing it again in Toronto on something else he did after that. So he's a talented guy.
So your most recent thing is the Just Another Day EP. Like on this tour, are you focusing on newer stuff, or like how do you build a set for something like this?
Yeah, good question. I like that question. I always try to play new music because it's the most exciting to me, obviously. As the artist, it's something new to say, and it's something new to perform, and something new to try. But there's also, quote unquote, the hits. Fans that have followed me for 20 years, there's certain songs I know they just want to hear because they'll messages on social media and comments afterwards or before. So I definitely include some of the well-known songs for my fan base. But no, I'll probably pull out a song that no one has even heard yet at this point, because I'm already writing for the next record.
You mentioned fans messaging on social media to request songs. And it begs a question I didn't even think of, but like in terms of interacting with fans these days and hearing from them, like is it a good thing as an artist for you to kind of get that feedback, or is it maybe a little too much? Like you wouldn't yell this at the stage, so why are you telling it in a DM?
You know what? It just is the new norm that people have access to you 24/7. You know, it used to be an us and them kind of feel. Certainly when I started, you were on the stage and the audience was in their seat. And now it's very much like everyone's there together. It's so involved. Like, you know, you post videos of being backstage and your tour trip that day and something off the bus and you just got off the airplane and everyone just knows what's happening. I mean, it's what you want to share. You know, there's lots that gets to stay my own, but I love interacting with fans, and frankly, I owe them my career. I mean, I've been a self-employed artist for over 20 years, and it's only because people give a shit. So if you're kind enough and supportive enough to still be coming and wanting to hear a song, I obviously want to play it.
For sure. So getting back to the EP, this one, you engineered, recorded it yourself in your own home studio, and that home studio was a COVID project?
Exactly. Yeah, I couldn't have said it better. Wow. That's exactly what happened. So I had finished a record, and then obviously COVID hit and I had to cancel all the touring, including headlining at, like, you know, Massey Hall and lots of big, big shows, and all of it got canned. And so I was left with a lot of time on my hands. And I started reworking my record because I had time, and I basically had time to build my studio more to what I would want it to be. And I enjoyed the process so much that when it was done and that record was released, I just kept working, because I just felt this like creative itch that finally got to be scratched. And I was home because the lockdowns just kept happening. So I ended up making this EP, and it's one of the most enjoyable things I've ever made. Like, it was just, I always felt like a kid in candy store in the studio. It's my favorite place to be. But it felt like when I first started making music, because there was no one else in the room other than myself. So No one could tell me it was a good idea or a bad idea. I just got to be excited by the idea. And it was just a really fun way to work again. You know, I'm about to start working on a record with people in a studio and producers and all of it, engineers, you name it. And I'm excited for that too. But it's nice to be able to make my own thing unvetted by others sometimes.
So it wasn't so much a novelty as it was like a return to kind of like how it started out with you, like being able to do something without other ears.
Yeah, I think, and I think we all felt this in the pandemic. I think we all needed some sort of anchor and some sort of semblance of something to look forward to. You know, my wife and I we started a family. We had two kids during COVID, and we renovated a house, and everything was just chaos and craziness and change. And I think I kind of felt like, ooh, I need something that I just know is not only mine, but I understand, and that I was like, can joyfully be in without chaos. And the studio is that place for me. Like, it always has made sense to me in the studio. It's such a wonderful place to be. I'm in my studio right now. I'm sitting here right now, and it's my favorite room in the house. That's for sure.
So the songs on Just Another Date, were any of them written before COVID, or like, did you actually like, because as I understand, you know, you obviously recorded it yourself, but like, did any of that exist before and then kind of become part of the process, or did it all kind of get birthed during that period?
I think there's two bonus tracks too. So if I include the bonus track, like deluxe version of that record, of this EP, there were two songs that I had started in 2019 in a studio in LA, but hadn't finished. And they made it, because that's kind of what started me down the rabbit hole of that EP to begin with. I was like, I'm going to work on these two songs that I started that I loved, but didn't make sense for my record. Mm. And then it kind of led down a certain feeling. And then I just kept writing and making music and writing and making music. And suddenly I'm like, whoa, I have enough for an EP. So maybe I'll just put this out, which is why I called it Just Another Day, was because that song, it just felt like such a continuation of what tomorrow brings. And what tomorrow brings is, you know, it's not just another day. It's always something new. It's always something you just have no idea what's around the corner, which was the whole idea of continuing that sort of train of thought to the last record.
So in terms of the recording process in the room by yourself, like, did you find you kind of went in any like kind of creative cul-de-sacs, like where you're like, I want to try this, and then like it just doesn't lead anywhere?
Yeah. 1,000,000%. Not only that, because there was no time constraints and I hadn't written the song yet. You get to capture all the lightning in a bottle while just trying something. So I finally, you know, had all my guitars out, and I would just, my bass and my piano, like everything is just here. You just kind of grab something and try it and grab something and try it and grab something and try it. And because you're not getting feedback from anyone, and because you think all your ideas are good as long as they register and resonate as exciting, it just takes you down this like fun, exciting path. And when there's a lot of people in a room, things usually get slowed by someone else's idea, because you kind of go back and forth, and does someone try something and you try something. And, you know, you as an artist, you work to have the best idea always be the winner. And I do that when there's more than myself. But when you're just yourself, it's just exciting to try, even though sometimes it was an absolute failure. You know, sometimes you would spend an entire day in a studio and completely record a song from start to finish, and at the end of it, realize that, man, that's just terrible. That's just bad. That's just bad music. And then you start again the next day, but you didn't disappoint anyone, because you just thought you're all by yourself, you know, like you really get to try anything.
Did you go places you wouldn't necessarily have gone if there were other people in the room?
I think so. I think this EP is far more guitar heavy, like electric guitar heavy, which is how I started in music, certainly in my teenage years. I had lots of rock bands and lots of electric guitars, and basically just tried to be Jimmy Page meets Hendrix. Like that was my full focus in life, was just to be this great guitar player. And then when I finally evolved as a songwriter, it led more to like the balladeer thing. It was piano and acoustic guitar, piano, acoustic guitar. And to have my hands back on my electrics again and have everything plugged in and all the pedals out and the whole thing happening is exciting and fun and loud. And it's such a great place to be. And I know as a direct result of that, the record I'm making now
once again is going to be far more electric guitar again. Like it's such a, I just keep buying more. It's just such a place where I want to be.
Now you said you're working with, you know, like a band and a producer on this next record. Did you seek them out specifically coming out of that solo record, like with like an intentionality as to who you were enlisting?
I definitely always set an intention and I always have goals and I certainly have little, you know, brain waves that are like, oh, what it would be like to work with this person. Like the last record, I ended up working with Linda Perry. And for those who don't know, she's like this multi Grammy winning writer, producer out of LA. And I'm proud to say that last record was up for consideration at the Grammys for best folk album. So it's my most successful record I've ever made. But the one coming up, I definitely want to continue to work with writer producers out of that LA scene because I just connect and vibe with that world. The sonic palette that they use and how they record, and there's an LA sound. There always has been, right? It's Tin Pan Alley, kind of led to Laurel Canyon, and Laurel Canyon in the 70s was that a certain sound, and LA still has a very distinct sound. So my next record I think will once again be back in LA, but just working with a few different producers who I won't name right now because things are just getting underway, but it looks like it's all gonna work out. So
sure enough. Now here's a question. It might be personal, so I can cut it out if it's too personal, but you were talking about, you know, during the pandemic, you know, starting a family, doing home renos, the, like, you know, all the stuff happening in your life, and so then the studio became kind of like a solitudinous place.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you're going to work with a band, you're going to work with a producer, you're going kind of back out into the world to do a record. Like, does it flip? Is there like a different solitudinous place, or does that solitude transfer because it's still your songs and it's still your kind of vision in the studio?
100%. Yeah, couldn't have said that better. It's the studio has always been my not escape, but it has always been my church. You know, it's always been my place to go to reflect, to express my unique self. We're all unique. Every one of us has our own story to tell. And the studio is just the place I tell it. And it's the one that I just look forward to the most. I love writing and making music more than like any creative endeavor. And I do a lot of different things, you know, like I'm a sort of multifaceted artist. But the studio portion of it is the one that I've always cherished. And since the very first time I set foot in the studio as a little teenager, it was like a friend's studio. It was just like a 4-track recorder. And he had a few instruments and a drum kit and piano and stuff. And I was just like, this is the greatest thing that has ever come into my life, you know? And that feeling has never gone away. When I walk into a studio, I just like, oh, I just want to make something. I just want to make something from nothing. It's such an enjoyable feeling. And it's so cathartic, and it's so immediate, you know, because you've made something. It's not like, I don't know. It's not like working in an office building, which I did for years until music finally took over. You know, you have lots of temp jobs and stuff, and I've done the 9-to-5 grind until my mid-20s. So I remember what it felt like to feel like I wasn't creating or doing anything. And now I definitely know that I did. Like whether I like it or it's good or not, doesn't really matter. I just know at the end of the day, I did something today, and that just feels good to me.
You have a tangible result.
Exactly. Yeah. And it is a visceral result, plus or minus. Like you are either moved by it or repulsed by it to send you in a different direction and try something else. And there's an infinite possibilities to writing a song, producing a song, you know, everything from, even if the song is written and you think it's great, what key are you doing it in? What tempo are you doing it in? What style are you doing it in? What instruments, what arrangement? And then when it's done, how are you mixing it? And how are you mastering it? And, you know, does it lead to a concept and a record? Is it a standalone song? And then how does that affect the live show? Because the mind just keeps going. It's like, well, what's my band going to be at this tour? And what venues do I want to do? And if I do that venue, you know, do I want this to be an orchestral record? So now I'm going to book an orchestral tour. Or do I want my singers? Or You know, like it just, it's always fun. Every album cycle is always such a an enjoyable new experience, as much as it's the same. You know, like you go back to a lot of the same venues. You know, I'll go back to Massey, or I'll go back to the Wind Sphere in Edmonton, or whatever, or West End Cultural, or Burton Cummings, or whatever it is. And you're like, it's the same place, but it's, I'm bringing a different show, and I'm telling a different story, and I'm playing different songs, and it's a different band, and you know, it's always exciting.
For sure. Well, before I let you go, Roy, I want to get you to pick a track from your discography that we can play for listeners, whether it's from the new EP or something in the past. If you have a reason why you're picking, I'd love to hear that.
Yeah. Well, we might as well play something off the new EP because that's what we've been talking about. And there's a song on there called Montgomery, which I had written in 2019. And it's very much just about mortality. And I had lost my father. He had passed away from Alzheimer's in 2016, 17. So obviously that thought is definitely a much larger looming thing that's kind of always in the back of my brain, especially now that I'm a father of two boys. I think about my life and what it means and what I want to do and what I want to leave and you know what it all kind of means, why we're here. And that was the whole spark of writing Montgomery, is just questioning why we're here and what it's all about and what it's for. And certainly in the end, my conclusion is it's not for some white beard god in the sky, and no one's taking vengeance or judging me for my doings. I think this is it. I think this is my one kick at the can. So I will make the most out of it, and I will, you know, I just want to be remembered as a kind, good person, and that'll be that. And that's the idea of Montgomery.
Well, we'll give that one a listen. Thanks for the explanation about it. Royal Wood and Jeffrey Straker, the Piano Men Tour comes to the West End Cultural Center Thursday, March 21st. Royal, thanks very much for taking some time out of your day to talk to us.
No, it's absolutely my pleasure. Thanks so much, Michael.
When the bell rang out in the far off field, well, I wondered who's that for. I heard old Montgomery couldn't hang on anymore. He was sick for months and getting worse. There was something in his bones. He would leave his children here and a loving wife alone. Well, I hope one day when it rings for me, was kind, and that's the truth. Yeah, I hope I'm not forgotten quick. If the angels come for me, it would feel so glorious to at last be truly free. Well, they say heaven is pearly gates, and they say not all get in. Something about that Jesus Christ not wanting any sin. Well, tell me now, just how do we get by each day without the sin of light? I'm full of pride, so I have my share of doubt. Well, I hope one day when it rings for me at my funeral, that I will leave. So I have nothing to fear. So I hope I'm not forgotten. No one comes for me. Nothing will be as glorious.
Back here on Thank God It's Free Range, the Friday edition of Free Range Radio. You just heard Faye Webster with Lifetime from her new full-length Underdressed at the Symphony. Gorgeous record. Really recommend checking it out if you haven't yet. That one dropped last week. Before the break, Royal Wood Montgomery from his Just Another Day. If you want to see Jeffrey Straker and Royal Wood March 21st at the West Center, the only way to enter for a pair of tickets on this show is go on Instagram and tell me what the name of the song was said. Go to tag at Friends of UMFM or comment on my on Instagram. It's at Wax and Cattle spelled out. Anyway, before we let things go and turn it over to After Eight Radio, we're going to play you a new music, starting with some kind of mellow folky stuff and then kind of towards some danceable stuff. Nes Nost, this is a thing out of Vancouver, who released a concept EP called Working Hours. It's fascinating. Basically, about a woman who works as a waitress and the things that she has to do to pay the bills and get through the day. The closing track, the rest, a really phenomenal one. So I'm going to play you that. We've got Women of Country. It's Kelly Willis, Melissa Carper, and Brennan Lee with Another Broken Heart. We've got something else from the legend Kim Gordon of Sonic Youth. We got Alice Russell Gas. Keep it locked here on 101.5 UMFM.
Won't you come here? I know you're busy, but I'm sad. I'm finding it hard to connect with anybody, and your smile makes me feel glad. He knows that I'm not really friends, but he comes in to pretend. Less of a bad guy, less of a sad guy, less of a creep. She works every Sunday, noon to night time. It's her only day of school. She trades her smiles in. Keep up on her bills, even when the regular loses his cool. She knows they're not really friends. She has to pretend to make him feel like less of a bad guy, less of a sad guy, less of a she'd like a guy that the guy is known to be a creep. Oh, he never ever wants to be. Off a little later, so he felt like he could follow her back home. She could feel him in a shadow. It was then that she knew she was no longer alone. She knows they're not really friends. She doesn't want to pretend. She says, I think you might be a bad guy, might be a sad guy, might be a creep. Then I know you don't wanna be, you wanna be a nice guy, someone I like, guy, not the guy you know. Said to the waitress, you come here. Who I am now is coming up clearer. Down in this barroom, it's all smoke and mirror, baby, meant for denying and hiding the cost. Each round I buy, mountain grows steeper. Each tear I cry, the memory grows deeper. Baby, Lord, help the loser who knows what she. Says go home, another night's ending. Well, I will be leaving. There's no use pretending. No home's an old story, means nothing to me.
Wrapped around about the memories. Come do. Are you a collection? Do you give up your?
Ooh. pense vraiment. Nous ne sommes rien de plus que de la poussière d'étoiles.